Again, if you examine the history of India, the kind of intellectual development that has gone into the making of Indian culture is amazing. It is said that India looked after three important categories of people. People who are imbued with imagination, but not highly intellectual. For these people, India gave 18 Puranas and 18 Upapuranas. They are full of stories and imagination, but not purely fictitious imagination, based upon solid experiences of certain levels of experience. Now, this literature itself is so vast that even if you spend the whole lifetime, you cannot complete this. It is such a huge literature. So only for one category of people, India has produced so much literature. Now this cannot be done without a very high development of intellectuality. Even to write one Purana is a very difficult task. Even to write one story is difficult, what to talk of hundreds of stories, and all meaningful stories. Then there is a second category of people who are highly intellectual. And for these people, India provided three kinds of literature. One was the literature connected with the scientific study of everyday things. Horse, for example, was regarded as a very important instrument at that time. Not as much as today, but at that time horse was a very important instrument of civilization. Now the science of horse was developed intellectually to such an extent that one could, by following the science of horse breeding, you could judge whether that particular horse, by merely seeing a horse, you could judge whether that horse was capable of longevity, had the capacity of strength, had the capacity of agility, and had great intelligence in it, because horses also have got different grades of intelligence, just as human beings also have got these grades. Some horses are very, very intelligent, like Chetak or Pratap, or the horse of Alexander the Great, and so on. So how to judge a horse among so many horses which are lying before you, and select the one which was the best from all these points of view? And there was a science about it. Elephant, which was also a very important instrument, how to judge an elephant? That also was a big science, and there were experts in this field. Now, everyday things, how many things are there in everyday life? But for everything, there was a tremendous effort at that time to make everything an object of scientific study. Analyze it, come to the last point in the analysis, and build up from that last point to the superstructure. This was the effort. It is said there are 64 arts at that time. So, not only sciences of everyday life things, but also the arts. In fact, the woman of that time was required to study as many arts as possible. That was a kind of an Aryan woman was trained right from her childhood into varieties of activities and artistic activities, And some of the descriptions, if you read, you find that today the kind of education that we are giving to our daughters is hardly anything as compared to the kind of conception we had for the daughter's education in those times. If you read the characters like Kadambari, Mahashweta and others, it is amazing the kind of training that was given to the Aryan woman. And this was all highly intellectual. So this was one kind of science. The second was the pure science, medicine, surgery, mathematics, astronomy, astrology, physics, chemistry, metallurgy, and several sciences which are developed up to a very high level of accomplishment. If you read Mahabharata from a point of view of metallurgy, it's an amazing science. What kind of weapons were made which were used in Mahabharata and which are destroyed on a large scale? This could not be without a highly developed intellectuality. Then the third was philosophical studies. If you simply take account of the philosophical study that was made in India, it is so amazing. The philosophy of Nyaya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, Yoga, Puramimansa, Uttarmimansa, of Jainism, of Buddhism, of Charvaka, and these philosophies were made so precise that each one of them was put in the form of aphorism. You know, intellectuality comes to a high degree of sophistication when it becomes so precise that you can state your statement in as brief manner as possible. As long as the ideas are vague, you can be very vast and very long-winding. That shows that the intellectuality has not yet reached its high pitch. It is when you can say things so briefly and precisely that the height of intellectuality can be measured. And there is no philosophy in the world which was developed in this aphoristical manner. You have Nyaya Sutra, Vaisheshika Sutra, Sankhya Sutra. Every system of philosophy has sutras. Then sutras were commented upon, and a vast literature of commentaries, and these commentaries were further commented, and they were further commented, and they were further commented. So commentaries on commentaries on commentaries on commentaries on commentaries. And such a vast literature, from an intellectual point of view, it is so prolific, so vast, that even if you spend 500 years to study, it would not be enough. And that is still available. And what is available is a fraction of what was at one time available but destroyed. If you study the history of India, how much destruction has taken place. Now, all that was destroyed, out of that only a fraction has remained. And what out of that fraction which has remained, only a fraction has been studied in the modern times. And what you know of it is only that fraction. How many manuscripts even now remain unread? There is no time for people to read all that. It's so much available. Even if you go to big libraries of India like Saraswati Library, or Banaras Library, or some very big libraries even in Jaipur and other places, so many manuscripts are lying and they are not read. We don't have manpower to read or to understand. So we have only read fraction of what is available, and what is available is only a fraction of what was at one time existence in our culture. Now this is the amount of intellectuality that existed in India alone. Now take Plato and Aristotle in Greece, and the kind of intellectual development which took place in Greece was so high, it is said that Plato reached such a height of intellectual thought that that height has never been reached again. As somebody said, that all the rest of literature in philosophy that has been written in the West can be regarded as footnotes to Plato.